on the surface at least. Now, it's almost sundown, and I must prepare myself as well. Why don't you go and see if the Ronin has made it back yet? And please, do not get dirty before we even reach the palace. Trying not to step on the bottom of my robes, I walked outside. Okame was leaning against the railing when I stepped onto the veranda, and his brows shot up as he saw me.
Sugoi,
he exclaimed quietly, pushing himself off the post.
Yumeko-chan, you look different. I didn't even recognize you.
I grinned at him. You as well, Okame. The Ronin had shaved, his goatee trim and neat instead of bristling over his chin, and his reddish-brown hair pulled behind him in a tight ponytail. His white hakama and brown howdy jacket weren't fancy, but they were new and clean and well-fitted. He didn't exactly look like a noble, but he didn't appear to be an aimlessly wandering Ronin either. You look almost respectable.
Bite your tongue,
he retorted, and looked away, a tinge creeping up his neck.
I can't believe I have to parade around the Emperor's palace pretending to be a samurai with a bunch of stuck-up aristocrats.
I cocked my head. Why do you hate the samurai so much, Okame-san? I asked. Tatsumi said that Ronin were samurai at one point, before they lost their master. What happened to yours? He gave me a crooked smile.
That is a long story for another day, Yumeko-chan. Let's just say there was a time where I fully believed in honor and duty and the code of Bushido. But that was years ago, when I was young, stupid, and eager to prove myself.
What happened?
I got slapped with the cruel hand of reality,
the Ronin said, smirking.
And I realized that the revered code of Bushido is nonsense. There is no honor in the world, especially among samurai. It just took my becoming a Ronin to realize it.
I blinked at the underlying bitterness in his voice, wondering what had turned him into the jaded Ronin he was now. You'll have to tell me the story one day.
I will, but right now we have bigger concerns, like making it through the Emperor's party without being discovered as charlatans. Just remember,
he went on, gently tapping my sleeve, dangling over the veranda with a finger.
I'm no more a Yojimbo than you are an Onmyoji, and pretending to be either is a death sentence should anyone find out.
I know, I said. Reika had explained it in great detail this morning. As soon as Okame left, she had dragged me into a room, slammed the door, and proceeded to lecture me about being so reckless with my lies. I was lying to Daisuke about being an Onmyoji, I was lying to Okame about being a peasant, and I was lying to the Kage Demon Slayer about being a normal human girl. I had gotten lucky so far, she'd told me, glowering like a small, furious cat. Especially when traveling with the infamous Kage Demon Slayer. And tonight, she went on, we would be inside the walls of the Imperial Palace, surrounded by nobles, samurai, aristocrats, and the Emperor himself. Where, if it were discovered we weren't who we claimed to be, it would mean execution for us all. This wasn't one of my Kitsune games, Reika had warned. This was quite literally life or death, so I had better start taking it seriously. I chewed my lip. She was right. I was dragging a lot of people into this crazy made-up story, and the lies kept stacking on top of each other. Sooner or later, that tower was going to collapse. Are you sure you want to come with us, Okame-san? I asked, glancing up at the Ronin. You don't owe me anything, you know. You're free to leave if you want to.
Are you kidding?
The Ronin shot me his wolfish grin, eyes glinting.
Forget obligation. This is the most fun I've had in years. When I was a samurai, I was never important enough to be invited to the Emperor's grand parties. It's going to be poetically ironic sauntering in there with a Taiyo, the proudest of the proud, and seeing the looks on their pinched, stuck-up faces.
But it's dangerous. What happens if we're found out?
The danger is what makes it fun, Yumeko-chan.
Okame said,
None of the nobles are going to ask if you're really an Onmyoji. That would be the height of discourtesy. As long as you don't agree to tell any fortunes, divine the future, or exorcise a demon, we should be fine.
He shrugged and leaned against the railing, looking carefree.
So I wouldn't worry about it. The court monkeys will all be too busy preening, fawning over the emperor, and trying to outstrut each other to pay much attention to us.
There will be monkeys? I blinked in shock. Well, that will make it entertaining at least. But monkeys are terribly messy. Won't they be worried about that?
That was quite cruel, Okame-san, said a new voice, and Taiyo Daisuke came around the corner of the building. He wore a magnificent kimono of dark blue silk with miniature golden suns patterned over the sleeves and down the front, and he held a colorful silk fan in both hands. His long white hair had been pulled behind his head and glimmered against the dark silk of his robes.
You shouldn't fill Yumeko-san's head with such lies. At least a few of them will be too busy destroying a rival's reputation with gossip or setting up advantageous marriages to be doing much fawning.
Glancing up at me, he smiled and lowered his head in a respectful bow.
Lady Yumeko, he said in a solemn voice, I feel I must apologize again for my boorish behavior the night we met. It is fortunate that the sakura blossoms have already faded and passed away, for surely they would weep at having to compete with your beauty.
I wasn't quite sure how to respond to that. No one had ever paid me such a compliment before. Fortunately, at that moment, Reika slid open the door and joined us on the veranda, saving me from stammering a reply in a most unnoble-like fashion. The Miko still wore the red hakama and white haori of the shrine maidens, but her hair was up and had been decorated with ribbons and tiny bells. Two other Miko appeared behind her, similarly dressed, and both of them gaped at the stunning aristocrat, their mouths slightly open. Daisuke, likely used to such reactions, politely ignored them.
Stop that! Reika swatted one of the Miko with a sleeve, making her jump. Both of you, you look like a pair of gasping carp. Do not embarrass me tonight.
Taiyo-san, she continued, turning and bowing to Daisuke, making the golden bells in her hair jingle.
Forgive this inconvenience to your valuable time. I cannot express my gratitude enough.
Not at all, Reika-san, Daisuke replied. I'm glad to be of help, and a change in the court scenery will be good for everyone. Shall we go? The sun is setting, and it is a long walk to the palace.
A moment, please, said the shrine maiden, stopping us. There is one more who will be coming.
Reaching into her sleeve, she withdrew an ofuda, the white strip of paper used to focus holy magic. The kanji for loyalty was written down the surface, the same ofuda she'd brandished at me when we first met. Closing her eyes, the shrine maiden began chanting something under her breath, and the air around her began to stir with power.
Guardian of the Hayate Shrine, I heard her whisper, most loyal of protectors, come to me.
The wind around her scattered in all directions, rattling the branches overhead. We waited, holding our breath. A furry creature trotted around the building and came to a stop at the bottom of the stairs. It was a dog, small and lanky, with triangular ears, reddish-orange fur with a white belly, and a bushy tail curled tightly over its hindquarters. A crimson rope collar hung around its neck, a golden bell dangling from the very center.
Inu!
I fought the sudden urge to leap back, to sprint down the veranda and duck into one of the rooms, closing the door between us. I'd never liked dogs, and the feeling seemed to be mutual. Once, when I was wandering the grounds outside the temple, a pair of village dogs, lean and ravenous-looking, had spotted me and given chase.
None of my tricks had worked on them. They'd ignored the images of roaring bears and fleeing rabbits, as if somehow knowing they weren't real. To escape my pursuers, I'd ended up climbing a tree, where I'd stayed until nightfall, when Denga had come looking for me and chased them off.
Kitsune?
Okame exclaimed, making me jump and look back at him. The Ronin was staring at the dog with a bemused expression on his face.
The guardian of this shrine is a kitsune?
It's not a fox, I told him, relieved and just a tiny bit annoyed. It's a dog. Honestly, Okame, it doesn't look anything like a fox.
This is Chu, Reika said calmly, making the dog look up at her and wag its tail. He is the guardian of the Hayate Shrine. One half of them, anyway.
Her eyes clouded over, a furrow wrinkling her smooth brow.
Ko, the other protector, disappeared the night Master Jiro left. I think she was either summoned by the head priest or sensed that he was in danger and went to find him, because neither of them has returned.
He is rather small for his type, Daisuke said, in a voice that was trying to be kind. Okame snorted.
Small? He's a runt. How the hell is this lint ball the guardian of anything, unless he protects the shrine from sparrows and rats?
Chu laced back his ears and growled at the Ronin, bearing a set of sharp white teeth. Reika sighed.
This is the form that allows him to follow me into the city, the shrine maiden told the Ronin. In fact, when he is wearing this body, he is hardly noticeable at all. He will even be able to slip past the gates of the Imperial Palace with little to no attention. One of his many talents, people simply don't notice that he is there.
A slightly evil smile curled her lips as she gazed at the Ronin.
Chu doesn't hold grudges, but were I you, I would think twice about insulting him. His true form is much more impressive.
Okame raised a skeptical eyebrow, but didn't say anything else. Chu rose gracefully to his feet and trotted away, as if taking the lead, and we followed him across the yard and down the steps of the Hayate Shrine. As we passed under the torii gate at the entrance, I noticed that both stone pedestals were empty.
Oh, Yumeko-san, before I forget.
Daisuke turned to me, smiling as we stepped onto the streets of the Wind District.
I spoke to one of my uncles about you, he began, and he was very interested that an Onmyoji would be attending the party tonight.
Oh, that was nice. Your uncle sounds like a very kind man.
Yes, and he will be quite pleased to see you. You see, a few months ago there was a terrible scandal surrounding the Emperor's last Onmyoji. Rumors of treason and blood magic, whispers of assassination. It was a horrible mess. In the end, the Onmyoji and his assistants were executed, but the position of court diviner has yet to be filled. My uncle thinks the Emperor will be delighted to have an Onmyoji tell his fortune.
Daisuke's brilliant smile grew even wider, even as I realized what he was implying and stifled the urge to pin back my ears in alarm.
If all goes well tonight, Yumeko-san, you might have an audience with the Emperor of Iwagoto himself.
Despite my nervousness, it was impossible not to be awed by the splendor of the Imperial Palace. Sitting atop its peak, the golden structure caught the last fading rays of light and glimmered like a miniature sun itself. As we drew closer, I caught glimpses of gilded roof ornaments. Golden fish, dragons, and phoenixes topped the sweeping corners, silhouetted against the sky and gazing down on us mere mortals far below. As we approached the enormous gates, I spotted a pair of samurai near the entrance, dressed in armor and holding their yadi spears upright. I worried that they would step forward, angling those spears to block our path. But they didn't move, though the older one did turn his head when Daisuke walked up, a grin curving his mouth below his mustache.
Oh,
Daisuke-sama, he called in a gruff, almost affectionate voice. When did you get back? How did your pilgrimage to Sagimura go?
Very well, Fujio-san, Daisuke answered. I am glad I took the time to travel. It was very enlightening. Behind him, Okame snorted.
I'll bet,
he muttered, and was swatted on the arm by Reika. The guard's attention shifted to her and the other three shrine maidens.
Ah,
he said, nodding once.
Entertainers for the Emperor's party, I presume. It has been a while since we have had a Kagura dance at the palace.
His gaze fell on me, taking in my robes, my peaked cap, and his brows lifted.
Is that an onmyoji, Daisuke-sama? Fortune does seem to favor you, doesn't it? His Highness will be thrilled.
Daisuke only smiled as we passed the guards and stepped through the gates of the Imperial Palace, but my heart, which had calmed down since we'd left the shrine, started pounding again. Through the gate was an enormous open courtyard with more samurai wandering about. Beyond that, over the tops of the trees and past what seemed like a labyrinth of walls, gates, and parapets, the Imperial Palace loomed against the sky like a glittering golden mountain. Without thinking, I started toward the distant palace, but paused when Daisuke called me back. Turning, I saw him and the others heading away from the castle toward one of the gates on the far wall of the courtyard.
We're not going to the palace itself, Yumeko-san, he explained once he realized where I was walking. The party is being held in the castle gardens, over there.
He gestured to the far wall, where a faint glow could be seen over a large and bushy tree line.
This way, if you would. We're almost there.
I felt a momentary twinge that I wouldn't be seeing the Golden Palace up close, but it faded as I passed beneath the gate and entered the Imperial Gardens. My first thought was that I had stepped into an extremely well-groomed forest. Upon further inspection, I realized even that was wrong. Every tree, every bush, rock, flower, and pebble seemed to have been placed with the utmost care and deliberation. All the bushes were trimmed into symmetrical shapes, all the trees standing straight and tall, their branches at perfect, orderly angles. Not a leaf or petal or scrap of bark lay on the grass or blew across the lawn. Even as I watched, a man whom I could only assume was a groundskeeper paused at a chrysanthemum bush and plucked an offending flower from one of the branches before stuffing it into a bag and hurrying on. It was a beautiful garden, I would admit, stunning and awe-inspiring, and about as lifeless as a sakura painting on a hanging wall scroll. There was no natural growth, none of the joyful chaos of a real forest. The Emperor's garden felt like I did at the moment, stuffed into an elegant but uncomfortable robe meant to impress everyone who saw it, wishing I could take it off and move around naturally.
Beautiful, is it not?
Daisuke murmured, gazing around with a serene smile on his face.
Everything here is designed with such precision. The castle employs 100 servants and 50 master gardeners to keep everything clean and perfect.
It is nice, I agreed, but it would be terribly difficult for anything to live here. The gardeners would have a nervous breakdown if a single rabbit got into the flowers. The path to the gardens was well lit by strings of chōchin lanterns, and we followed the bobbing orange lights until we reached yet another gate where a stern-looking samurai eyed Okame and me before turning to the noble in front.
Tayo-sama, he said with a bow, please forgive me, but the Emperor's party is by invitation only. I know your family is already within, but I don't recognize your companions. I must ask that they show me their invitations or I cannot allow them to pass.
I am allowing them, Daisuke said easily. This is Yumeko-san, a respected onmyoji from the Earthlands, and her Yojimbo Hino Okame. They are here as my guests.
The samurai grunted, looking over Daisuke's shoulder at me before shifting his gaze to Reika and the two shrine maidens behind us.
And what about them?
Reika and the others sank into a formal bow.
Please excuse us, the Miko said. We are from the Hayate Shrine, here to perform tonight's Kagura dance for the Emperor.
The guard frowned.
I didn't hear anything about an Onmyoji attending,
he said stubbornly, glaring at me again.
She's awfully young. I've never heard of her, certainly. How do we know she's experienced enough to see the Emperor?
His jaw tightened, and he jerked his chin at me.
Who have you served before, girl? Which lords have you attended?
Excuse me, said a voice, saving me a reply. A man came forward, thin and disheveled-looking, his clothes rumpled and his hair standing on end. He wasn't a samurai or a noble. His clothes, though not as tattered and threadbare as some peasants, were quite plain. His robe was dusty, and he smelled of sawdust and wood shavings. Seeing the newcomer, the samurai immediately stepped forward to block his path, momentarily forgetting about us.
Halt! How did you get in here? State your business now.
The man sniffed and drew himself up.
I'm looking for someone, he said in a reedy yet confident voice. I have permission to be here. I need to speak to the magistrate now.
Daisuke brushed my arm.
Come, he said softly, as the samurai stated again in a louder voice that the area was off limits.
The noble looked troubled, as if wanting to speak to the newcomer, but he continued to usher us away.
We do not need to be present for this, nor do I wish to shame a samurai who was only doing his job. Let us leave him to his duties and slip away quietly.
Reluctantly, I turned from the man, who was now arguing with the guard in a high-pitched voice and waving his twig-like arms. The samurai didn't even glance at us as we slipped through the gate and melted into the shadows beyond. Okame caught my gaze and grinned, but I couldn't quite return it. Past the guard, we followed a bamboo wall, turned a corner, and entered a large open area on the edge of a beautifully scenic lake. A red and gold pagoda sat on an island in the center, connected to a bridge that arched gracefully over the water. Shamisen music drifted through the air, played by an older woman kneeling on a rug, who plucked at the strings with practiced ease. Overhead, the individual cords of lanterns were a ceiling of floating lights, casting a bright, hazy glow over the throngs of people milling about. For a moment, I could only stare in awe at the sea of colorful robes, each one brighter and more extravagant than the last. The women wore many layered kimonos, so intricate and heavy-looking that I wondered how they could move. Some of the men wore hakama and jackets with stiff, flared shoulders, but several of them were clad in robes only slightly less elaborate than the women's. I felt a nudge as Okame stepped close and nodded across the lawn to where a platform had been set up in front of a folding screen. Seated on a cushion before a lacquered table, surrounded by attractive women and imposing samurai, a handsome man in brilliant yellow and white robes sipped from a golden cup. I swallowed. Is that? I whispered unnecessarily.
Taiyo no Genjiro, the 143rd,
the ronin murmured in my ear.
The son of heaven and the emperor of Iwagoto.
Daisuke-san!
A man came toward us, weaving around individuals and through clumps of nobles as he did. He had white hair and a sharply pointed goatee, and waved to the noble as he approached.
Uncle Morimasa,
Daisuke said, and turned to me with a slight bow.
Please excuse me, Yumeko-san. I will be right back.
I nodded, and the noble strode away, smiling at his relative. But he hadn't gone more than a few paces before a pair of noble women swept up to him, blocking his path.
Daisuke's polite smile never wavered, and he looked wholly interested in what they were saying, even as he smoothly edged around them, only to find his path blocked by another. By the looks of the crowds converging on him, it seemed he might be a while. Moving to the edge of the lawn, I stood beside a perfectly groomed azalea tree and gazed around, wondering which of these elegant, fluttering humans could be Lady Satomi. I also wondered if, somewhere among the sea of robes, Tatsumi was there, hidden by a spell or a disguise. I imagined him in an elegant black kimono, patterned in purple and gold, his violet eyes shining as they met mine through the crowd.
"You're blushing, Yumeko-chan,"
Okame remarked, grinning as he bent down to stare at my face.
"What are you thinking about?"
Nothing. I turned away, feeling my cheeks flame, hearing the ronin snicker behind me. "I was just, thinking of robes, and how mine is very hot, and how nice it would feel to take it off, and that didn't come out how I wanted it to at all. Stop laughing, Okame-san." I didn't dare turn around to face him. "Baka! Be serious! We're supposed to be looking for Lady Satomi!" And then, one of the women seated closest to the Emperor raised her head and looked right at me. Behind my robes, forgotten and unnoticed by everyone, Chu began to growl. I suddenly felt itchy, like insects were crawling around in my sleeves, scuttling over my skin. The woman held my gaze, a faint smile gracing her full, painted lips. She was very beautiful, standing out among her fellow nobles, her crimson and black kimono hanging a bit more loosely in some areas than others. Not blatant or obvious, but suggestive. Something squirmed through my hair at the base of my skull. Frowning, I reached up and grabbed something long and thin, pulling it from my head. A red and black centipede wriggled between my fingers, coiling back to bite me. I threw it away with a violent jerk, barely managing not to yelp. The insect landed in the grass and was instantly pounced upon by Chu, who snatched it between his jaws and shook it like a rat. "Okame," his laughter forgotten, muttered a curse. Heart pounding, I glanced back at the woman, who was smiling at something the Emperor said and not looking at me anymore. But I knew she was responsible for the unwanted visitor, and an icy chill raced up my spine as, quite suddenly, everything came together. This was the person responsible for everything. The giant centipede, the undead crows, the demons that destroyed the temple. It was all because of her. The unseen hand behind it all. The blood witch in the Emperor's court. I trembled, not knowing if it was from fear or rage, and felt Reika move beside me, also gazing at the red-clad woman. Chu was still growling quietly near my feet, though no one around us seemed to notice the dog. "Well," Reika said softly, "judging from Chu and how white your face has gone, I have a feeling we might have found our Lady Satomi." I nodded. The woman glanced my way again for just a moment, a smug triumph shining from her eyes, and I clenched my fists. If this was Lady Satomi, I also had the feeling that she wasn't going to make things easy for us.
"Yumeko-san."
Daisuke returned, the taller man at his side, both smiling at me as they approached. I wrenched my gaze from Lady Satomi and turned to face the nobles.
"Yumeko-san," Daisuke said again, "this is my uncle, Taiyo Morimasa."
"Hello," I said to the older Taiyo. Then, remembering where I was, bowed low and said, "It is an honor to make your acquaintance."
"The honor is mine, Yumeko-san,"
Morimasa replied. He looked much like Daisuke, except his hair was in a warrior's bun atop his head, and he had a neatly trimmed goatee.
"You honor us with your very presence. We have not had an onmyoji at court for quite some time. Forgive my impudence, but your name is unknown to me. Which master did you serve under? I had heard rumors that the great Tsuki no Seime was holding a contest to choose a new apprentice.
I did not serve a master, I said, groping for a reply. I just, had the talent for it, I suppose. I learned on my own.
Amazing, the older man said. And at such a young age, truly remarkable. Well, that decides it. You must perform for His Highness tonight. It would be a great honor to have such a talented onmyoji take the stage before all the court. What do you say, Yumeko-san? Will you show us your talent?
I felt trapped, like a rabbit huddled in a corner with wolves closing in on all sides. Okame and Reika looked just as uncomfortable, though neither were jumping in with excuses. This was not a request. Even I, with my limited knowledge of Iwagoto society and politics, knew that a chance to serve the emperor was the greatest honor one could receive, and that turning him down was the most unforgivable of insults. Even if my refusal did not result in imprisonment or execution, our quest would end right here. If we wanted to find Master Jiro, I had to keep the farce going. Though I had no idea what I was going to do. Certainly, Taiyo-san, I told Morimasa, making Okame start and stare at me. It would be an honor.
Yumeko-chan,
the ronin burst out, then seemed to catch himself.
Please, excuse me, he told Morimasa with a quick bow. I'm her Yojimbo, so it's my job to worry about her. She can be rather reckless at times. Yumeko-chan,
he went on in a low voice, staring at me rather wide-eyed.
Are you sure you can do this?
With the undertone of, what the hell are you doing?
If you mess up in front of the Emperor, it affects us all.
Your Yojimbo might have a point, Reika said in a voice of resigned disapproval. Though for this request, I don't know what else you can do but accept.
Of course you must accept,
Daisuke broke in, looking both puzzled and slightly offended.
Meeting the Emperor, performing for him and the entire court, there is no greater honor.
Exactly, I told the ronin, and forced a smile. You heard Daisuke-san. When will there ever be another chance to meet the Emperor? Don't worry, I know what I'm doing.
I hope.
Okame looked dubious, but I turned away and faced Morimasa again. Please forgive the interruption, Taiyo-san, I told the frowning noble. As I said before, it will be an honor to perform for His Highness tonight.
Wonderful, he beamed. His Excellence will be delighted. If you would please, follow me.
With a last encouraging smile at the concerned ronin and shrine maiden, I stepped forward and followed Morimasa across the yard. Nobles stared at me, watching with amusement, curiosity, and suspicion as I passed. A few sneered or smirked behind their fans, their scorn plain to see. Perhaps they saw through my onmyoji disguise, or perhaps I was not dressed fancily enough. I tried to ignore them and think of what I was going to say to the Emperor, though the pounding of my heart and the frantic swirling in my stomach made it hard to concentrate.
Wait here a moment,
Morimasa said, pausing in the shadow of a cluster of trees a distance from the Emperor's dais.
When the time is right, I will announce you. As you hear your name, come forward and present yourself to His Highness, but stay at least 20 feet from the edge of the platform. Do you understand?
Yes. He nodded and turned away, walking toward the platform and the men and women clustered around it. I couldn't see Lady Satomi as she was on the Emperor's other side, but thankfully she couldn't see me either.
I took a deep breath to calm my nerves, just as a hand clamped over my mouth from behind and yanked me back into the trees.
"It's me,"
said a low, familiar voice, stopping the surge of Kitsune-bi to my fingertips.
"I'm letting you go, so don't alert everyone here by screaming."
"Tatsumi," I whispered, whirling on him as he released me. "You scared me! Why are you..." I blinked and trailed off, for the Tatsumi before me was not the Kage Samurai I had traveled with from the Silent Winds Temple. He was clad completely in black, except for a ragged crimson scarf that seemed to float behind him in the breeze. Instead of sandals, he wore split-toed boots that stopped just below the knee, bracers on his forearms, and a sleeveless, unmarked jacket that was a much tighter fit than his regular haori. A mask covered his mouth and jaw, obstructing half his face, though the eyes above the cloth were the same, a cold, piercing violet.
"What are you doing, Yumeko?"
Tatsumi asked, his voice soft but intense. His gaze seemed to burn in the darkness. I glanced around to make sure no one could see us. The air shimmered as I turned my head, and I could suddenly feel the dark, cool touch of Tatsumi's shadow magic surrounding us. "Performing for the Emperor of Iwagoto?"
"You're not an Onmyoji."
Tatsumi's eyes narrowed.
"You have no magic. Talking to the kami is not the same as telling fortunes and divining the future, which is what the Emperor will expect. If you're exposed as a charlatan, you'll be executed."
"I know, but what else can I do, Tatsumi?" I whispered. "I can't refuse the Emperor."
"I can take you out of here."
Tatsumi stepped closer.
"Right now. No one will see us. We'll use the same spell we did in the Gaki village. When it's safe, I'll come back to look for Master Jiro. We don't need to talk to the Satomi woman. I can get into places most people cannot."
"What about the others?"
"I don't care about the others."
Tatsumi's voice was flat.
"My mission is to get us to the Steel Feather Temple. Nothing else matters. If you are caught and executed, the mission ends here."
His hand rose, the back of his knuckles coming very close to my cheek. I looked into his eyes and saw conflict burning within. "Tatsumi..."
"You cannot die, Yumeko."
His hand didn't move any closer, but he didn't pull back either, and his voice was very soft.
"We both made a promise to find the Steel Feather Temple together. I need you to show me the way. The mission isn't over yet."
"I'll be all right." Carefully, I reached up and took his hand. He flinched as our skin touched, and then, almost tentatively, his fingers curled around mine. I met his gaze and smiled. "I know what to do, Tatsumi. Trust me." He held my gaze a moment longer, brow furrowed and eyes shadowed, then nodded once. I backed out of the trees, feeling the delicate strands of magic fray apart as I moved, and turned toward the Emperor's platform. Taiyo Morimasa met my gaze, his eyes widening in relief, as if he had been looking for me and hadn't been able to see me until now. Gesturing impatiently, he waved me forward. Resisting the urge to look back at the trees, I took a deep breath, lifted my chin, and walked toward the platform and the Emperor of Iwagoto.
29. The Emperor's Fortune. I watched the girl walk away, her stride confident, toward the Emperor in gold who waited on his platform, surrounded by nobles and samurai. The eyes of the court followed, all gazes on the slight figure in billowing red and white, her long braid swaying behind her. She did not look frightened or even tense, but there was an unfamiliar sensation in the pit of my stomach that compelled me to make her vanish. to drop down, cover us both in darkness, and spirit her away. Or, if that wasn't possible, to draw Kamigoroshi and slaughter everyone who was a threat, nobles, samurai, and emperor alike, to save the girl striding so boldly toward the person who could order her death. I could still feel her hand. Her soft fingers curled around my palm and clenched my fist against my leg. Yumeko could not die tonight. Letting her walk away was foolish. I didn't know what she was planning, if she even had a plan, but I'd said I would trust her. A peasant girl with no magic, who had grown up in a temple, sheltered from the rest of the world, who was brave and unassuming and clever, but ultimately, no onmyoji. I was letting her face the most powerful man in Iwagoto with nothing but the assurance that she would be fine. I saw the ronin, the shrine maiden, and the noble press forward with the rest of the crowd, forming a semicircle behind the girl, and my chest tightened. For the first time, I wished I could be there, in the crowd, instead of lurking at the edge of the light, hiding in the shadows. "Great Kami," I found myself thinking. "Watch over her. Tamafuku, god of luck, if you can lend your aid to one person tonight, let it be her." Yumeko stopped her approach about 15 feet from the emperor's dais, sank to her knees, and bowed low with her hands and forehead touching the ground. It was clumsy. Her posture wasn't quite rigid enough, and her fingers weren't at the right position, but at least she had the general idea of how to behave when facing the ruler of the country. And it appeared to satisfy the emperor, for he smiled and held out a billowing golden sleeve. "Onmyoji Yumeko," he said in clear, high tones. "Welcome to the Palace of the Sun." "His Highness honors me," Yumeko replied, sitting up slowly. "I am not worthy to be here, but I will try my best to please." I sensed disapproval and scorn emanating from the watching crowd, from the nobles and aristocrats in particular. Yumeko's common birth was suddenly painfully clear in the way she spoke, without nuance or the flattering, flowery phrases of the court. I had the sudden image of dropping into the midst and cutting them all into bloody ribbons, and I wasn't quite sure if those were Hakaimono's thoughts or my own.
"My advisor tells me you learned Onmyodo without a master," the emperor went on, and a murmur went through the crowd. "Is that correct? You have truly mastered the ancient knowledge on your own?"
"Yes, Your Highness, that is correct."
She did not give any more explanation, though it was clear the court was waiting for it.
"Remarkable," the emperor exclaimed, sitting back. "Truly extraordinary. Of course, you must show us your talents, Yumeko-san."
He raised both arms, golden sleeves billowing like sails.
"I give you permission to tell my fortune," he announced grandly. "What do the ages hold for the greatest empire in the world? Peer into the future and tell the court what you see."
A hush fell over the garden. Yumeko hesitated, then rose slowly, dramatically, to stand tall before the emperor.
"The future," she said, her voice echoing over the crowd, "is an ever-changing stream. Every choice, every decision we make, sends it down a different path. To glimpse the fortune of another is to see hundreds of possibilities at once. It is never a task to be taken lightly or in haste."
She raised her arms, as if drawing on the power of the kami, and a sudden wind caught her hair and robes, billowing them outward.
"Let us see what the future holds for you, Your Highness."
The crowd was motionless now, hanging on her every word. The emperor himself leaned forward, hands on his knees, staring at the robed figure before him. For a moment, I forgot this was Yumeko, the peasant girl I'd rescued from the Silent Winds Temple. Standing in the center of the yard, arms outstretched and the light shining over her hair and bright crimson robes, she really did look like a revered onmyoji, shimmering with power as she prepared to divine the future of Iwagoto's emperor. Yumeko brought her hands together, cupping them below her chin, two fingers raised in a familiar gesture. She closed her eyes, and the court seemed to hold its breath. For a moment, the girl was silent. Not a breath of air stirred the yard. All attention was focused on the robed figure standing alone before the emperor.
Taiyo no Genjiro!
Yumiko's voice, quiet as it was, made several nobles jump.
Lord of the Palace of the Sun!
She paused, then said very clearly,
There is an intruder in your garden.
The emperor straightened, as did many of the nobles and samurai. A few bushi started looking around, hands on the hilts of their swords, as murmurs began rippling through the crowd. I crouched low in the shadows as Hakaemono stirred, whispering that I should strike her down before it was too late. Would she really expose me? Kage Masao's question about trust came back to me, and my blood chilled. Would you sell me out tonight, Yumiko, to save yourself?
It is very close,
Yumiko went on, her voice quiet and somber.
Lurking in the shadows, watching you and your guests as we speak.
A few of the women gasped and pressed closer to each other, and one samurai half drew his sword. My hand slipped to kamigoroshi, fingers hovering over the hilt, as Yumeko continued.
It is very cunning, this intruder, the girl said. Silent, unnoticed, it has already left a trail of destruction behind it, and if allowed to roam free, will continue to bring ruin to everything it touches.
Where?
The emperor gasped, half rising from his seat.
Where is this intruder?
It is close,
Yumeko repeated, half turning in place. I tensed as the girl spun toward me, but she continued to turn, away from where I crouched in the shadows.
It is...
She paused, raising a hand toward a patch of bushes near the edge of the light.
There!
The whole court turned, staring at the spot she pointed to. For a moment, nothing moved or dared to breathe. The court was frozen in rapt fascination, unable to move or look away. At the base of a sakura tree, a section of bushes rustled loudly, drawing horrified gasps from the closest spectators. A small brown rabbit hopped from the brush into the open. An exhalation of breath went through the crowd, though the women closest to the intruder let out tiny shrieks before they realized what it was. The rabbit sat up, twitching its ears as it observed the humans, who stared back in confusion and shock. A shout echoed over the garden. A man in simple clothes, dirt smudging his hands and grass stains on his knees, rushed forward, his eyes going wide as he stared at the creature on the lawn.
Usagi!
Ignoring the staring nobles, the man, most likely a groundskeeper, lunged at the rabbit, diving forward with hands outstretched. The usagi instantly spun and flashed into the bushes, and the human landed on his stomach in the grass, plunging his hands into the branches. Digging through the leaves, the gardener searched frantically around the bush, before coming to realize he was being watched. Spinning around, the now pale groundskeeper blinked at the equally stunned court, then pressed his forehead to the grass in the lowest of bows.
"Please forgive!"
he cried. But at that moment, the rabbit streaked past him in a tan blur. With a howl, the gardener leaped upright, stick in hand, and chased it to the edge of the trees, where both vanished into the darkness beyond. Silence fell. Everyone continued to stare into the shadows, as if not knowing what to do. I spared a glance at Yumeko and saw her standing quietly in front of the dais, a small, triumphant smile on her face. A slow clapping shattered the stillness, making several nobles jump. The emperor rose to his feet, bringing his hands together, a wide smile breaking over his beardless face. The rest of the court erupted into applause. It swept through the air and swelled above the trees as the crowd turned as one to face the girl in the center of the garden. Yumeko bowed, humbly accepting their recognition as the sound of success rose above the trees and scattered to the winds.
30. The Viper in Silk. I let the applause wash over me, listened to it rise and swell, and allowed myself a tiny sigh of relief. Who knew that such a small thing, an illusionary rabbit at the right moment, could charm an emperor? Of course, the appearance of the gardener had not been planned, but his reaction had certainly helped convince the court that what they were seeing was real. I hoped the man would be all right, that the appearance of a single rabbit within the emperor's pristine gardens would not get him punished, but it was too late to regret that now. Denga, if you could see me now, I thought, smiling as I met the gazes of Daisuke, Okame, and Reika in the crowd. My good-for-nothing fox trickery just fooled the most powerful person in all of Iwagoto, and his entire court. I've come a long way from making the teapot dance around the room. Brilliant! As the applause died down, the emperor stepped off his platform, beaming in my direction. Astonishing! What remarkable talent, Yumeko-san! Would you consider using it in service to the country? My brows rose, and he smiled, gesturing over the trees toward the palace, glimmering gold against the night sky. There is an opening in my court for a royal onmyoji. I could certainly use someone with your skills. Oops. Well, I suppose there's such a thing as doing too well. I thought quickly, knowing that refusing the emperor, even now, could have terrible repercussions. His Highness honors me, I said with a low bow. I am grateful for the offer, but there is a very important task that I must complete, a vow to fulfill before I can accept. Ah, of course. The emperor nodded. Even he would not dare suggest one break a promise and risk the dishonor that came with it. Well, when you are finished with your task, consider returning to the palace, Yumeko-san. You are always welcome within my court. I bowed. His Highness is too kind. My last onmyoji told me of the coming of the great dragon, the emperor went on, making my stomach leap to my throat. I thought the story was simply an ancient myth, but he was certain he saw the dragon rising in one of his visions. The emperor frowned. Sadly, he was discovered to be a practitioner of blood magic and executed, and the words of a blood mage are tainted and cannot be trusted. But it would please me to have another onmyoji in my court to inform me if the harbinger is indeed approaching and what I can do to claim its power for my own. I felt a crawling sensation under my robes and looked up into Lady Satomi's dark eyes, glittering with hostility over the emperor's shoulder. Only for a moment before she turned to the emperor and smiled, all traces of menace vanishing beneath a beautiful porcelain mask. My lord, she crooned, gazing at him from beneath long, thick lashes. The moon is rising. Would you not like to view it from the lake pavilion? The water is very clear tonight. You should be able to see his reflection from above and below. Ah, of course. Everyone, the emperor called, clapping his hands and bringing the court's attention to him. Lord Moon has begun his journey across the heavens. Let us retire to the edge of the lake so that we may wish him well. I am eager to hear the fine poems you have composed to honor his journey tonight. The crowd dispersed, heading in the direction of the lake, including the emperor, who seemed to forget about me as soon as he stepped away, his yojimbo falling into step around him. Lady Satomi, however, did not leave, but continued to watch me, a faint smile on her face. None of the other nobles, guards, or samurai seemed to notice her. All continued to move toward the lake edge, leaving us alone. Well, the woman's cruel gaze raked me up and down, spreading the sensation of dirty claw marks across my skin. That was amusing. I stifled the sudden wave of panic, feeling the weight of the scroll under my robes, wondering if Satomi could somehow sense it. If she would summon an Oni right here to crush me like an egg. I shivered, then took a breath to loosen the cold knot in my stomach and looked Satomi in the eye. The Emperor thought so. The Emperor is a child who is easily impressed with illusion and cheap tricks. He does not know the difference between a charlatan and true power. One corner of a pouty red lip curled up in a smirk. You will not find me so gullible. I felt fox magic surge to life and clenched my fists to keep Kitsunebi from springing to my fingertips. You've been following us, I accused in a whisper. Those dead birds are yours, aren't they? She raised an elegant, mocking eyebrow, and I bit back a growl, knowing I couldn't fly at her and force the truth from her pouty red lips. You've been watching me and Tatsumi ever since we left the forest, I said in a low voice. Were you the one who sent the demons to the temple? What an awful thing to imply. Lady Satomi touched a hand to her chest, as if appalled. Certainly you would not expect one of my station to engage in such things. Dead birds? Demons? One corner of her lip curled, and her voice dropped to a menacing whisper. Blood magic is punishable by death, little fox, as is lying to the Emperor of Iwagoto. Your little performance worked only because I allowed it. This is a court of puppets, and I manipulate all the strings. Who do you think they will believe if certain things come to light? Satomi-san. Daisuke's voice echoed behind me, even as I fought to hold my ground, to not step back from this evil woman. Lady Satomi's malicious look vanished as she smiled at the noble who joined us, switching faces so quickly that she seemed to cast off a mask. Okame and the shrine maiden appeared beside me as well, and a tiny, barely audible growl rippled up from the ground as Chu took one look at the woman and bared his teeth. Lady Satomi didn't even glance at the dog. Good evening, Tayo-san, she greeted, bowing to Daisuke, who nodded in return. Did you see the remarkable performance of our talented Onmyoji? She turned her smile on me, and it looked completely genuine. I cannot remember the last time I was so amazed. I could hardly believe it was real. Lady Yumeko is indeed talented, Daisuke agreed with a small smile in my direction. It is an honor to have her here. He turned back to Satomi, and his words became forcibly polite. Satomi-san, if we could trouble you but for a moment, it will not take long. Of course, Tayo-san, Lady Satomi said. It is my pleasure. What can I do for the son of the Honorable Hironobu-sama? Reika stepped forward, her scowl indicating she was not fooled in the slightest. Master Jiro of the Hayate Shrine, she said without preamble. Does this name mean anything to you? Should it? You called him here, Reika went on as anger flickered through me, knowing the woman was playing with us. 3 days ago, he received a summons from the palace to come and meet with you.
He never made it back to the Hayate Shrine. That was the last anyone saw of him.
Master Chiro, Lady Satomi said thoughtfully, as if trying to remember.
Master Chiro. Oh, yes, I remember now. I called him to the palace for tea and to answer a few